This call is being recorded.
Hey Stan, how's it going?
Hey, Ram. I'm pretty good. How are you?
Not too bad. I'm at a conference in Europe. I'm trying to find a quiet spot. Hope the background noise is not too loud for you.
No, it's pretty good actually. Yeah, okay. Quiet is good.
That's good to hear. And it's kind of interesting. Before you joined, I was hearing a nice country music song about how I'm all alone waiting for the conference call to start.
Yes. I think their on hold music is really funny. I think white paper working group called Hart was listening to it. He sounded pretty annoyed with it.
All right.
What's the conference? Anything interesting?
This is a Cisco Live. It's a Cisco conference. So.
What's do we have an agenda today?
Can you hear me now?
Now I can, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so it's thinking, depending on who shows up, we can talk about the outstanding items and so forth. But one of the things that I had today was to kind of just plan for the meeting in LA, mm-hmm. See what sessions we can have. Are you planning to come?
Yes. Yeah, I'm actually.
Well, that's awesome.
For day zero, just I'll be there in the afternoon, but yeah.
Sorry, what was that?
I'm actually going to make it for day zero, just for the second half, though. I'm flying in the morning. But yeah.
Okay. So I'm hoping we can have a working session, because if we just leave it to the homework, many things are not getting done. So yep. We can have like a hackathon session. Maybe we can do some prep work. And see whether we can kind of hack our paper.
Very true. Very true.
Hey, Hart, how's it going?
Not bad. How are you guys?
I'm hanging in there. I'm in Europe for a conference, and so
is it a
dialing in late in the evening?
What kind of conference?
It's a Cisco event, so it's
gotcha.
Cisco Live. So,
yeah, I was at the Stanford event all last week, so I missed the calls.
How was it?
It was good. It was interesting to hear, you know, what people were talking about, what people were interested in. So, yeah.
Is it a generic Stanford crypto conference or
blockchain?
Oh, blockchain specific. How nice.
Yeah. I think I sent out a link to a bunch, but yeah, okay. I don't know. The registration closed pretty quickly. Have you guys figured out what, I'm still not entirely sure of the day zero activities of the Hackfest.
So that's one of the topics I had in mind today. I was wondering whether we can start planning. Maybe we can have a working session around the outstanding items that we have, at least in the main thread. You know, if there's a critical mass, we can to see whether we can bang out the identity services section at least. And Hart, now that you're working on the crypto library, maybe you can write up the crypto library section of our architecture white paper as well. At least for the standard portion of the library that you're thinking of.
Yeah, well, I mean, ideally, it could be it'd be really simple to convert from the proposal.
Right.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. I still need to get in touch with a lot of people. I haven't heard. Have you guys heard from Nathan in a while?
No, I have not.
I haven't heard from him in a while.
I'm missing it in action.
So.
And neither from Bin.
I don't know. Maybe they're on vacation or busy or something.
As I say, Ben's posted a couple of things on the mailing list about needing to miss some of these calls, but I haven't heard anything more specifically from him.
Hey, Mick, how's it going?
Very well.
Congratulations on 1.0 release of
Tartu. It's out the door.
Fantastic. Do we have someone from Oracle from Chicago on the call?
Yeah, hi, this is Todd. I don't know why it shows up
in
Oracle.
Hey, Todd.
And sorry, I've missed the last several meetings or whatever. We've been heads down trying to get some stuff out the door here. And we're still trying to get it out the door, but that hopefully it'll be soon.
Life's like that. Are all of you guys planning to come to the Feb face-to-face?
Yeah, I'll be there.
I'll be there.
Okay. I've been out of the loop here. Too many other things on my plate. So when is the face-to-face and where?
February 20, 21, and 22 in Los Angeles at UCLA.
Okay. I will see if I can work that out.
One of the things I was thinking of our agenda today is to kind of figure out whether we can have a working session plan for the face-to-face so that we can hammer out, finish up anything outstanding on the smart contract white paper if it's not all done before that. And but more importantly, to get some serious progress done on the write-up of the identity services sections that have been pending for, I don't know, heaven knows how long. So it's been several months, and I think we haven't made serious progress there. We have enough participation. We can try to hammer it out just in that session. Let's hack the paper. All right, it's 6 after, so remind everybody that the antitrust policy is on top of the meeting notes. Let me post the meeting notes here. A reminder to right-click and open in a new tab, otherwise Uber conference might blow you out.
I thought you were switching to Rocket Chat.
I should check with Tracy. Are we ready to switch to Rocket Chat?
I think we can make that decision ourselves if we want to.
You're talking about Rocket Chat as opposed to Zoom.
Oh, Rocket Chat as opposed to Zoom. Sorry.
Yeah, I was just saying because we can use Rocket Chat however we want, but Zoom worked very well. Friday last week. So
yeah. So we speaking of Zoom, definitely want to by the next working group meeting for the architecture working group switch to Zoom for that. So I will be sending out an updated invite that has the information for the Zoom conference call. So look for that to show up in the architecture working group mailing list. And I'll make sure to also just paste it into Rocket Chat, the Zoom ID that we'll be using. So I got a Zoom account specifically for all Hyperledger community meetings. So even if a community meeting is currently using Zoom, it'll probably change its ID as well going forward. But I'll get those sent out shortly.
Awesome. Tracy, do you mind also posting that on the wiki page?
Sure. Yeah, definitely. I'll update the wiki pages as well.
I usually just go there to join the meetings rather than click on the link. So I'm sure others are probably in the same boat.
Yeah, thanks for pointing that out. I'll make sure to do that.
Yeah, that stuff is distributed all over the place, including meeting invites, the wiki pages in the different working groups, and so on.
Here, I have a question. Is there any work being done by this group around policy?
We have identified a policy function, and I think we have a few bullet items under that, but that needs to be one of the functions that needs to be fleshed out. We just haven't gotten to it yet.
Yeah, I just noticed that, you know, it's referenced a lot in Fabric, and the details are apparently forthcoming sometime. I don't know. But
so
it seems
policy, what exactly is meant by policy in this context?
Yeah, that was exactly my question. What do you mean by policy?
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm not interested in policy. What I'm interested in is authorization. But when I bring that up, people say in Fabric, at least, so that's related to policy and policy, you know, whether that's endorsement policies, channel management policy, whatever. And they refer to this generic thing called policy. And yet when you try to dig down into that, is there a well-defined policy mechanism? And the answer basically seems to be no. So I don't know whether this group is going to focus on that, because I think policy or authorization is a big area that crosses all the projects.
So can I ask you a couple of just questions about that? I'm a little curious, and you know,
obviously.
Some of our work is you know, that we're trying to encode policy inside contracts, right? But when you talk about policy, you talk about it as like a very distinct thing from sort of semantics or whatever constitutes an update. Is that an accurate reflection of the way you?
That's not the way I view it. I don't like to use the term policy, because I think policy is overloaded in many different areas. I specifically was looking around the area of authorization.
And in the case of authorization, what's the granularity of authorization that you think is interesting?
Granularity.
Oh, that boy, that was a really bad question. sorry.
It's okay, Mick.
No, sorry. I was trying to. I'm trying to come up with it sort of a different, and we had this, so Hart and Ram and I, when we were trying to hammer out some additional sections of the paper a couple of weeks ago, one of the things we were talking about is where is that authorization box in the flowchart? And my argument was that there are essentially two kinds of authorizations that happen. One is sort of the global, does this person have the right to ask a question of this contract? And then there's a very specific or detailed kind of fine-grained one, which is something to the effect of, is this individual the owner of this asset and is allowed to perform this transfer of ownership, right? Which is a very kind of semantic connection to it. How do you envision authorization fitting into the sort of flow of, and I'll say contract execution, because I think that was the context that we were having the discussion. Did I capture that part, Ram?
Yeah, I think so. I think we were trying to kind of segment potentially the authorization mechanisms into fairly stateless access control permissions with compared to authorization, which might be stateful and have more complex semantics tied to the state associated with smart contract. So that's the dichotomy we were trying to see whether we could come to in our discussion.
And to me, that makes a lot of sense, because I think we need something built into our environments that's declarative and sort of the first level part of that. Obviously, for getting horrible echo here. But obviously, you need at the smart contract level sort of finer grained, right? You know, the things that are germane to that particular smart contract domain. And that's going to be probably nearly impossible to express in any kind of reasonable manner that would fit for everybody. But there are certainly things you say that can I invoke this smart contract? What functions in that smart contract can I invoke? Am I allowed to do updates, only queries? That kind of sort of more generic authorization seems to me to something that we should have embedded in our frameworks. Does that help at all explain that, Mick, or not?
Yeah, and okay, the devil's always in the details, right? But
yeah.
I will speak for myself, and Ram and Hart can correct me where I go astray. I think we were looking at, there's a couple of things, right? You
know, nobody else can?
Well, Vipin, trust me, I know fully well that you will correct me every opportunity you get.
No. I'm just listening at this point. I'm just, injecting a note of levity.
we were talking about there's sort of a notion. There's one filter, which is the request well-formed? You know, do the keys make sense? Are the signatures valid? Things like that. So there's sort of that syntactic correctness level.
Are you hearing the protocol, basically, right?
Yeah, it's basically, are you playing by the rules of the protocol, right?
Right, okay.
There's clearly one at the other end, which is a very semantic oriented one, which is, are you the owner of this asset, and does the owner have the right to actually move something from, change ownership of this? And the decisions at that level are very contract specific. What are the actions and who's allowed to perform those actions that way? It's that one in the middle. It feels like there's another box in the middle, which has some, does the system know this identity? To use the kind of indie terminology, are there characteristics about this identity that give it access to the smart contract that allow it to even ask questions of that contract? Are you a member of a particular organization? Can you prove that membership, kind of thing? And we had a hard time, or I have a hard time kind of figuring out exactly what goes into that kind of middle box. I mean, we would like to do things like denial of service attack prevention, flow control on requests, kind of high level filtering of identities and things like that I can imagine there. But I was having a hard time sort of internalizing for myself, trying to figure out what goes there.
You said it. You said that fateful word.
Which one? Uh-oh.
Identity.
I said many fateful words. This is not the first time.
No, identity. In the end, you did say that word, which is what I was waiting for. Policy came down to identity in the end.
Yeah, I think, well, okay.
I was waiting for this word to pop up.
Speaking of which, has anybody else read the WAVE paper from Berkeley? It's a decentralized authorization, so it's kind of the mirror of the identity side, and it looks really awesome as something we might want to consider. So anyway, I'll pass around a link to that paper. That was a total side share. Anyway,
yeah.
So back to that sort of box in the middle. What goes into that box?
Sorry, which box are you talking about here?
This is between protocol correctness. Yeah, someplace between protocol correctness and sort of deep semantics. It feels like there should be some stuff in there that's kind of general and reusable. I just have a hard time figuring out what goes into that box. And Todd, Oracle's business in many ways is that.
Go ahead, Vivian.
Are you saying that what is that box would allow you to build on top of it, deep semantics, or are you saying something else?
No,
I'm not sure. Go ahead, Mike.
In the sense of authorization, right? There's basically if you want to think of it, there's authorization is like a filter, right? It basically says, yes, you're allowed to do this. No, you're not allowed to do this, right? And the filter box at the protocol level is pretty obvious, right? Are your signatures valid on this? Is the encryption appropriate? Do you have a well-formed request, right? So that one's pretty obvious. I think the filter on the actual semantic updates is pretty obvious as well, right? I can write a policy in the contract which says the owner of this asset is allowed to increment the count of it or decrement the count that's associated with the asset, right? And it's just some very semantic, very specific, contract-specific thing. Those contract-specific things, making them reusable is nearly impossible, because they're tied to the meaning of the contract. The protocol stuff is pretty straightforward, but it's a pretty small box. It would be nice if we could have a bigger box of tools that we could apply to the authorization that were reusable. And I'm just not quite sure what goes into that box.
I mean, I was imagining that things like role-based access control rules and so forth can be fairly straightforward to set up as a generic set of policy rules which are not too tied to the state, and which can be richer than just one specific identity and so forth, right? So you already called on something, role in terms of having an owner and what an owner is allowed to do and so forth, right? So those kind of role-based access control mechanisms, which are easy to codify and which are not too deeply tied to the semantics of the smart contract, are probably feasible.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the role-based stuff allows you to say, I can invoke this function in this smart contract because I have this role. That's, standard access control list kind of a thing, right? But I think we need to focus on that because that's the area I think we get sort of the biggest bang for the buck because it applies to everything. The ones where you get very fine grain that are stateful, I can do this because I'm the owner of the asset and there's enough of the asset and all that sort of stuff. I agree, Mick. That's going to be very difficult, I think, to generalize and have some sort of mechanism to express that can be applied to multiple smart contracts.
Yeah, but just a second. Before we go further, isn't the first bit that you talked about related to authentication, like the protocol bits that you're talking about? Is it the right signature? Is it the person and so on? Isn't it somehow related to authentication? And the other parts, I mean, the deeper semantics, like you said, that can still be split into two parts, right? One is, are you allowed to transfer the asset? Second is there enough of the asset to transfer? which are, you know, which is a totally different question, which is, you know.
Yep. I think you're right in the sense that, you know, you need to do authentication before you can do authorization. The two are fairly, you know, done mostly together, but you absolutely need to do the authentication first and then apply the associated authorization policy.
So the protocol piece is a combination, right? The authentication is are the keys valid, right? Authorization is, do I accept those keys? I guess maybe that's not the best way to describe it, but I think that the protocol level or the very base level, it's sort of a mix of those. I'm more interested on moving above that and the next two levels sort of above that, as Mick described. Sort of what are the generic ones? And what are the ones that are so semantically tied to the smart contract that there's no reasonable way probably to express those in some sort of declarative mechanism?
I think that if you provide some basic building blocks that we can still put together quite complex arguments. That is my take, because based on, you know, other languages, other things, based on some simple constructs, we are able to put together some pretty complex things.
Right. Agreed. So what are those primitives? I think, you know, what are the primitives in terms of the actors, the actions, and the assets?
Yeah.
Isn't that what it comes down to?
Yes.
Yes.
And that can be applied at the network layer, right? So am I allowed to even invoke a smart contract? And it can also be at the much lower level, can I do that with this particular asset?
Yeah, right. And we can probably
kind of add other attributes as well. Like, for instance, there might be access control logic associated with the region that you're dealing with, right? So there's jurisdictional requirements. And like, for instance, in Europe, which says that, you know, only something needs to be accessible only within a country and so forth. So we can probably add those attributes as well, and include some kind of set of access control logic which takes that into account as well. So there's probably some amount of attributes and rules that we can kind of capture in that generic mechanism and leave the more stateful logic as just part of what needs to be done in the smart contract itself.
Right. Ultimately, everything we don't provide is going to end up having to be done by the smart contract, right? And at the moment, we don't, in any of our frameworks right now, we don't provide very much. So it almost all ends up in the smart contract. And my contention is that that's a bad place to put that kind of information, right? Smart contracts are notoriously buggy.
And we don't want to necessarily. Yeah, and we don't want necessarily every smart contract to reinvent the same logic and implement it in a different way, in an inconsistent manner, and so forth. So,
right. And that was part of
the motivation within the identity services to have an authorization function. Todd, to your earlier question, authorization we put as one of the functions that will be provided within identity services. So we had authentication, authorization as two of the, I think, five or six functions we put under that bucket. That brings us to the topic. The identity services section is the one that's been pending for a while. And perhaps we can use the face-to-face session to have a working session to flesh out the details and capture the write-up if that sounds like something that all of you agree to.
The only question is getting there in terms of us from the East Coast. But anyway, I know that there are flights from New York to LA, but somebody has to pay for it. So coming back to Mick's question, so here we are, this kind of hovering invisible box into which we want to put these things. That box seems to be some kind of a reusable set of starting from modeling identity, which I think, you know, we have to go back to the guys who have been doing it for the longest, which is, you know, pairwise identifiers combined with some way of storing attributes. I mean, you know, we don't want to go start reinventing all this stuff. Then, verifiable claims, you know, that kind of stuff. And then you have the other side, which is a semantic, deep semantic topic of, you know, whatever is going to be expressed inside a smart contract. Somewhere in between is this box that seems to be, some richer sort of a library or something that will use those basic features, so to say, of the model to implement the, and look at the commonly used patterns to come up with this. Of course, we may not cover everything, but, you know, perfect should never be the enemy of good. If we can cover 80 to 90% of the cases, then we are home free.
Agreed.
So,
what do folks think about a working session on the identity services during the face-to-face?
That's fine, but is this really an identity issue? I mean, we're pushing it that way, but is this identity? I always thought identity was like, you know, verifying who I am, right? Am I this person?
No, I think that model has been sort of superseded. Who I am is also,
and I have certain attributes and roles and stuff like that. I agree. But then how do I apply that to authorization? Conflate those? I don't know.
Not really. I think we called it identity, not just identity, but identity and policy together. So let me just go over what were the different functions we put in under that bucket. So let's see, what do we have? So we had enrollment, registration services, authentication, authorization, revocation, and policy. What else did we have under that bucket?
Okay.
Same set of functions I had in the identity paper. At least we had in the identity paper to start with.
Yeah, and I'm probably a little bit behind on stuff, and I apologize for that.
No, it's not a question. Nobody has really solved this, and people are constantly there's a tug of war about this stuff. I think the whole concept that identity is not like some solid thing that, you know, you're constantly accumulating attributes. It's what do you call it? It's an edge protocol. That's what Ian Griggs said, which is kind of interesting because it puts into it all the dynamic nature of identity, right? I mean, in the sense that you may have a role today, tomorrow you don't. you're fired, and you can no longer sign those documents. So that, you know, that can only come from this model. And I think I'm convinced that this model is the way to go, but it's not going to be win followers all of a sudden, because it's a complex topic.
Yeah, does it map back to sort of, the network model? So protocol is basically authorization at the network layer. The middleware layer, if you will, smart contract being able to invoke and stuff like that, is at one layer, and then the very, very semantic stuff. I think it's at least those three. Are there more? And which ones should we be focusing on? I think all the projects are currently covering the lower, the bottom layer. The middle and next layer up, I think, that are the interesting part.
Yeah, but it's like the blind men with the elephant. We are only focusing on the on the parts that we can map to familiar things. I contend that there is interaction between them, and hence, that means that, you cannot just neatly separate the network layer from the middleware.
Well, so describe that in more detail. I'm not sure I follow that.
What I mean is, like, suppose there is a, we talked about, let's step back a little bit. We talked about those things that Ram put in this bucket, right? What did he say? Enrollment, authorization, role
authentication.
Authentication, of course, but enrollment sort of implies that, right? I mean, once somebody is known, and then you have the other side, which is revocation. But that person, may not cease to exist. He just doesn't have the right, or she doesn't have the right to do certain things. So everything that you do at the semantic level will ultimately need to get those attributes somehow, right? Otherwise, how can you say whether this smart contract can be executed under the under the aegis of this particular identity?
I think Mick got to that, right? And so, it's basically a filtering mechanism, right? At each layer, you basically filter out who can do something. Is it not? I mean, if you don't pass the bottom gates, you can't get to the top gates. I mean, basically, as far as I can see.
Yeah, that's kind of how I view it. So, sorry.
I think the semantics is really what provides those layers, but the actual tools to achieve it, you could use verifiable claims at all three layers, but still. Semantically,
yeah.
Those are three separate functions, separate levels.
What are you claiming at each layer is, right? Isn't that what sort of the key part?
Right, but I'm just kind of, in a way, trying to comment to Vipin's point that verifiable claims is a tool to solve the problem in general. So it's not a, it doesn't necessarily lump them all together. Or provide the separation. It's kind of orthogonal.
Yeah, verifiable claims, from my perspective, falls into the tool category that I could then use that for an authorization framework, right? So I can claim that I'm an administrator for this asset, and you can prove that
but that then allows me to do certain operations. Those are separate, right? The verifiable claims is you can prove that I have whatever attributes I need to meet the filter requirement. I mean, maybe it's obvious to everybody, do we want to try to specify that there, you know, that there's are these sort of three layers that Mick sort of described, right? Sort of the protocol, the, I don't know what you call the mid-tier stuff, and then the stuff that's highly semantically based on the particular smart contract.
Sorry, I'm trying to distinguish between the lower two layers. Can you walk me through what's the difference between the lowest layer and the middle layer?
Go ahead, man. You proposed it.
Let me give it a shot and see what if this works, right? So the lowest layer, I think, is understandable, right? Is this a well-formed request? Do the signatures match when we do the verification of it, things like that. That next level up to me is sort of the kind of generic, ledger policies, for example, or something at a high level. Is this signature registered with the organization? So it's a valid signature because we verified the protocol. Now we go back and we do kind of the next level of check. Is this identity registered with the blockchain participants that are allowed to make requests here? There may be something, again, I'm sort of thinking about kind of coarse-grained access control that is this individual a member of a group that's allowed to perform authorization or perform actions, update actions? So you might have some very kind of generic reusable policies that are independent of the kind of fine-grained, semantically connected policies in the contract. So I guess I was thinking about that sort of next level of kind of at a minimum, cross-ledger policies for executing operations, coarse-grained reusable policies that might be based on sort of organization or institution, policies based on flow control. This one in particular is important, especially if you're using, if you've got some kind of gossip network that's pushing these things through multiple participants. You want to filter as quickly as possible on those. That was the kind of stuff that I had in mind for that,
okay,
that box. And again, it's a fuzzy definition because that's not the part where I do my work. I do most of my stuff up at the very semantic area. So.
Okay. So in my mind, the what you're talking about, layer one is almost just authentication, right? So that's the first rule, and whether the message is well formed or not is not really that's something that's we can we can certainly include there, right? That's a rule to say whether that's a valid request or not. And the layer two is really the authorization, generic authorization a mechanism, if you will. And I guess layer three is anything that really belongs in the smart contract. It's more complex business logic. It's stateful. Am I mapping that right? Just reading that back to you? Does it make sense?
That was kind of what I had in mind. And sorry that it's ill-formed.
Not at all.
Clear in my mind exactly what I mean either. So.
So let me try to ask some questions here. When you say well-formed request, what exactly do you mean?
Could be just the syntax is correct. Right. So
it could be syntax is correct. It could be if your request is encrypted, does the Mac verify if there are signatures in the request that identify individuals, are the signatures valid? I mean, signature checking, for example, is not really a semantically rich operation. We can do that syntactically, and that can be universal across all of these.
Yeah. But when you start talking about well-formed requests, then, you know, it goes into semantics because request is not just who makes it, and it is also what they're saying.
Yeah. I had a little bit of a kind of flag with the message well-formed being clubbed with the rest of these rules. So we should probably think through that and see whether, you know, we want, again, whether that breaks up into two simple things. You know, if something is, if it's a simple message integrity check that is stateless, then again, it can be part of this early discard, if you will. We just need to see whether it makes sense to separate those or generic early discard rules, or are we talking mainly here about authorization, which is tied to you know, an identity and a set of rules, versus clubbing the well-formed request here. I guess from just a functional point of view, maybe we should leave that out separately.
Yeah, I mean, I have like just troubles semantically grouping the basically syntax checking and signature verification. These feel like very different levels of verification and checking, right? So for me, the basic syntax checking is such a fundamental function that it should be part of the ledger of communication protocol. Where the signature checking has a lot more semantics and, as mentioned, tied to the identity and further leads to authorizations.
So are we looking at four levels? So we have basically the lowest level is protocol.
We have the right bits in the right places.
And then authentication is who are you? Authorization is what you can do, sort of generically. And then the semantic one? I don't know. I'm just asking.
Yes, I'm just wondering, why are we even putting the protocol correctness, the fundamental syntax checking into this conversation?
Yeah, that's a good question, I think. Is that part of authentication and authorization?
I don't think so. The protocol piece is probably a separate piece, but, you know, if we are trying to see, so that's why it depends on what lens you're looking at. If you're looking at, you know, what rules will I use to do an early discard of a request, then, you know, it makes sense to include it. If you're talking specifically about authentication and authorization, then I don't think it belongs. Probably belongs in specifying the protocol stack.
Yeah, that certainly belongs there. But getting back to Mick's comment about filters, I mean, that's sort of the lowest level filter, right? So we have filters at many different layers. Right? If you put the wrong bits in the wrong place or whatever, it doesn't matter who you are. It's going to get discarded because it's malformed. Right? Above that, then you start to get to who are you, and then above that, you get to what can you do. Right? All those are sort of filters at various level, but it's early or late. I don't know if it matters, but.
So I said this in chat. I mean, fundamentally, my view of this is all a sort of performance thing. You could handle this all by letting everything go to the smart contract and then, you know, letting it handle everything. But this is obviously hugely inefficient and causes a lot of practical problems for security. So
yeah, as I say, is efficiency the issue here, or is the fact that you're pushing off something that should be well-defined and well-understood into something that's smart contract base, which is like not well defined or understood necessarily.
Well, it's efficiency and security, right? You don't,
yeah.
I mean,
okay.
I can denial of service. I can make you process a ton more things that you might not other, you know, like you might be able to save yourself a lot of time with a very simple check early on, basically. And that's kind of the root of a lot of denial of service attacks. And it's also sort of minimizing the sort of the threat face that you have, you know, because if you're blocking a lot of malformed or otherwise inappropriate messages, then that can only help your smart contract security. But fundamentally, you know, how many layers there are and how they get separated, you know, I'm not sure that there's a, you know, maybe I'm wrong and maybe someone can convince me otherwise, but I'm not convinced there's just a super clear cut optimal way to do this. I think a lot of it depends on the blockchain structure. Like if you're running some kind of like tiered blockchain, like if you're running like fabric channels or something, you might need a whole extra layer, right? Because you want to make sure not only people have correct permissions on the main blockchain, but they have it on the channels. And so forth. Does this make sense?
Makes sense to me.
Obviously, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think it's what fits into those various buckets, right? So what, as you mentioned, like channel policies and stuff like that, that stuff I see is all sort of middleware or infrastructure kind of stuff. But then I think we also need something that's above that, so the semantic stuff, right? The more fine-grained. I don't have enough money, so I can't transfer these funds because they don't exist. I think that's a valuable thing also, that if we can pull that kind of stuff out, just like we've done at the lower levels, that I think we have a win. But maybe maybe it's too difficult to express that.
I mean, I'm not sure we want to pull something like as fine-grained as, is there enough money in your account to transfer? I think that's probably a smart contract function, since that is inherently tied to the contract semantics.
I agree.
But, and the channels thing, I mean, different channels might have different policies or, you know, or different permissions. So you might not be able to lump a channel filtering layer in with the main blockchain. Certainly the main blockchain isn't going to want to filter for all the different channels. It's going to want to probably make them do the work. So I guess my point is, I'm not sure there's a one size fits all policy for this.
Is there a one size fits all policy expression mechanism that we can come up with?
Well, there's some.
Isn't that what people really want? Isn't that what we really want? Some way to be able to express this stuff in a way that can be implemented without having to do it in code in the smart contract?
Yeah. So there are some things that are going to be highly reusable, right? So obviously, just some kind of thing that makes sure people who are accessing the blockchain have permission to access the blockchain, right? Like everyone would want to use that. There's, you know, I should say anyone with any kind of permissioned blockchain would want to use that, right? But, you know, maybe Indy is totally fine without doing that kind of verification, right? Because you might be totally new or something like that. So I think this is probably best. If we were going to build this, I would say, you know, well, let's build some things that are kind of commonly used, and we'll let, you know, pick and people, we'll build a buffet and we'll let people pick and choose what they want to take. Does that make sense at all, Todd?
Yeah, I guess the way I was looking at it is that, you know, are there common abstractions across the various projects? And then can we define, you know, the set of rules or the policies that can be described that can control access to those abstractions? So smart invocation is one, deployment, you know, whatever that might be. And some of those, I think, you know, are generic across pretty much any blockchain. Others are obviously be very specific to a particular blockchain implementation or application. That makes sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're in agreement there.
Okay. So how do we define what those things are, right? I mean, whatever you call it, Sawtooth calls it a transaction group, whatever. We, in Fabric, it's a smart contract or chain code, whatever it happens to be. I think it would make sense to identify those in a more abstract sense and then figure out what are the rules that can be applied to those.
Yeah.
And that might be who you are, what role you have, where your location is, what time of day it is. I think there's a number of things like that we could implement in a very generic sense that'd be applicable across the various blockchain implementations or smart contracts. And a hush fell over the room.
No, I mean, a rule-based thing, if you were building a module, you'd kind of want to have a rule-based thing where people could customize their rule set. So that makes sense, I guess.
I think, again, we really have to, I mean, we can talk in the, all these terms, but... In the end, what sharpens the mind is to look at a particular use case or a set of use cases and then see whether those abstractions can be applied across the board and then throw out the ones that, are very, very specialist. And only do the ones that apply in broader sense, or at least to try to figure out if it doesn't apply to the handful of use cases you picked, is there some broader picture in which they fit more things? All this is like sort of a little bit of hand waving here and there, but I agree with the general concept that is, you try to build it up using building blocks and, patterns that are common. But what should they be in a policy world or identity world or whatever you want to put it? And that is the question, right? I mean, ultimately, that's what we're discussing. The general principle, yes, is there, but I mean, this whole layering thing, that has its problems and its limitations. But let's say that for once that we can stick with that. But in the end, we have to come up with concrete functions and concrete things that would then map onto this abstraction and satisfy a bunch of use cases, right?
Yeah, but those concrete things may be very dependent upon the particular blockchain infrastructure that's being used, right?
Sure.
That's
but,
why I think
there has to be an enrollment function, for example.
Right.
There has to be an enrollment function. However it is, we can say that this would be sort of the interface for it. But if it doesn't fit in with the particular blockchain, then, there has to be some parallel to that. And you can say that this is the parallel to that in this particular infrastructure, I mean, so
but
we've been
yeah.
simple functions, simple things.
Can you, like, can you invoke a smart contract as an example, right? So that would be something that would be an obvious rule that could be applied sort of at that middle tier, if you will, that has nothing to do with the smart contract itself. It's just whether I have the role or necessary authorization to be able to invoke it or invoke it in a certain way, perhaps. Those are maybe the abstractions we need to look at is, you know, what are the things we want to control access to at each layer?
Yeah, I think what I'm hearing is that there is a need for a generic authorization layer. It's just a question of how rich do we want to make the declarative rules and attributes that are associated with that. Is it, on one end, we can make it really simple role-based access control. On the other end, we can allow you to express more fine-grained attributes and have a more richer declarative way of expressing access control rules. What belongs in the smart contract side of things and what belongs in the authorization middle layer is what we probably need to kind of take a stand on from a high-level architecture perspective. I think we're coming up on the end of our time. Looks like Nathan, you joined as well. Good to have you join after a while. Welcome back. Do you plan to attend the face-to-face session in February?
Thanks. Yeah, I'm hoping to be there for the face-to-face session in February. I'm trying to catch up a bit on the Wave protocol documents that Nick has sent to me, and I think I have some things to say about kind of the terminology and the breakdown of some of these pieces, but it's one of those things where there's a lot of interesting items of meaning at play. So the idea of authorizations as a generic concept across chains is always going to be a bit tricky.
Yep. So I think we're at end of our time slot. What I was hoping to do is see whether we can have a working session as a face-to-face. Sounds like there'll be at least a critical mass of architecture work group folks interested in attending to kind of have a working session there. So if you're all fine, let's try to kind of hammer out the authentication, authorization, as well as the enrollment and revocation kind of functional descriptions while we are there. If any of you have the time to kind of do some homework and prep so that we can have kind of a hacking session on our paper on these sections, that would be fantastic. Any volunteers to take that on in preparation for the face-to-face? If you could get the word going and frame like user stories that we can work on when we are there, that'll be fantastic.
Actually, I have a question: when and where it will be face-to-face session? Maybe I'm
it is in
chat.
I think it's in LA, Alex, in LA, February 21st, the week of February 21st, I believe.
Okay, I get it will be opposite part of the world from Russia, but I'll try to participate as well.
Okay.
It's part of the Hackfest,
all
right?
Yes.
Okay.
The Hackfest. All right, folks, thank you so much. Looking forward to the session. So I guess we'll have one more meeting prior to the face-to-face, so maybe we can talk about it a little bit more and hammer it out. And looks like Greg solicited some input on the smart contract paper by end of day Friday. So if you have any comments on that, please review the document and put it in as quickly as possible. Since we are trying to wrap that up as well. Thanks, and we can continue the conversation on Rocket Chat or email. Good progress.
Awesome. Thanks, Ram.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Sam.